Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We're broadcasting from 101.5 FM, WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. With us today, we have Brennan Ness and Adam Rex from the McHenry County Conservation District. They're going to tell us all about our wonderful local buffalo. Welcome, Brennan, and welcome, Adam.
Thanks, Ron.
What's going on with these animals out there? How you guys doing?
It's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We got some bison on our prairie, so that's something a lot of us with the district have always wanted to have. So,
how many do you have, Adam?
We've got six right now, and they kind of range from ages from a little over a year to pushing 3 years, probably the oldest cow. Yep.
So I know a lot of people wonder about what happens to them in the wintertime. I know buffalo, I mean, for years and years you see them in movies and they're out in the range and they're wild and everything else, but is there a barn or a lean-to where you've got some shelter for them or just right out in the open?
They're out in the open. They are a hardy animal. They evolved with the prairie in this landscape, in this climate, and they are going to be grazing at Pleasant Valley year-round, and the ecosystem that they'll be grazing on was made for them. So
Brennan, tell us what your job is with the Conservation District.
Sure. I'm the agricultural ecologist, which means I manage about 6,800 acres of farmland that's currently cared for by the district and leased to agricultural producers who are helping us achieve our goals to protect and conserve natural resources. And the farm program includes the grassland that's currently being grazed by bison at Pleasant Valley Conservation Area.
That's a lot of land to cover.
It is, and that's just a fraction of what the Conservation District currently protects.
Wow, and Adam, how about you?
So I'm a restoration ecologist, so a little different than Brenna. We deal with the prairies and the woodlands and the water, and we do the hands-on work, so we're out there burning it and doing the brush clearing, and things like that, more of the grunt work the ecologists do, and then we also get pulled into every facet of the conservation district, so it's, yeah, we do it all, so.
I'm sure people wonder, well, you got these buffalo, you know, roaming out there, how do you check them, if they're healthy, if they're injured, or how do you go about doing that?
So we, you know, we work with the farmer who owns them himself, the Reuter family farm. They actually own the bison. So we kind of work with him. If we see something, we've all kind of gained a lot of expertise over the last 2 years dealing with the bison, preparing for the bison. So we kind of have learned what to look for, how to watch for them, if they're getting skinny, if they're acting funny. We don't go out there every day. We're out there maybe, my shop is actually at Pleasant Valley, so I'm able to go over there and sneak away and see them, you know, once a week or so. So I keep an eye on them. But you just watch for weird behaviors. You know, we've learned what they're supposed to be doing. If they're not doing that, then we know to kind of contact the Reuters and tell them and go from there.
And you have to be kind of careful. I know the bison out up west on South Dakota, I know people sometimes get too close. They park with their cars. They go through, you know, the Custer National Park, and they get too close, and that's not a good thing. So I would imagine you folks have to be careful too, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll just sort of mention that this bison operation is very different. And what's beautiful about it is it's a partnership with Reuter Bison, who is a tenant on the district's land. And so they really are responsible for caring for the herd. But it's a partnership with us on managing the land and the habitat for wildlife. So, you know, it is a livestock operation from that standpoint. There's no public access through the pasture where the bison are, but Reuter Bison has ranch hands, local ranch hands that they've hired to help manage the herd as well. And yeah, they do have to be careful because the bison have settled in well. They've been there almost 8 or 9 months and they've sort of established a territory, I think, and you know, they are becoming more defensive of that.
Now, where did he bring the bison in from?
His home farm, which is...
It's south of Champaign, a little town called Newman.
Okay.
So quite a ways away that came from.
Yeah. Are there plans to increase the herd?
You bet. Do you want to talk about that, Adam?
Sure. Yeah. So right now they're on about 30 acres that's fenced in. And then we planted 90 acres of tallgrass prairie, native tallgrass prairie, this past winter on existing cropland. Now it's going to be prairie. It's coming in very nicely, by the way. And so in the future, the goal is to fence that in, and then also an adjacent 54 acres to the south of that. And so that will all get fenced in, and then he'll increase his herd by, you know, I think the number was 35 to 40 is probably our top end for what we figure the prairie will be able to handle. That could be less, it could be a touch more, but that's probably where it'll about be. So,
will there eventually be a location where people can view the bison without getting too close, but it's a safe zone?
That is the ultimate goal, yeah. So, you know, right now we're prioritizing habitat restoration, the habitat management plan, the monitoring of the wildlife, and getting the herd settled and established, the partnership with the tenant developed. But it is the vision of this project to develop and plan a public access component. And unfortunately, the reality is there's a lot of work that needs done at the property in terms of creating you know, accessible parking and trails and bison viewing stations and things like that. That's all part of the vision, but we're working closely with our planning department to develop that and implement it. And it's going to be a couple of years.
That's pretty awesome, though. I mean, to put all that together and see it formulate into a plan, that's got to be great to see.
Yeah, our planning staff is pretty remarkable. They've done some wonderful things on district sites. There's 34 public sites in McHenry County owned by the Conservation District right now where the public can recreate, kayak, hike, horseback ride, many different
activities. I have a note here that says, you know, who is McHenry County Conservation District? I guess we should talk about that.
Sure.
So people know that don't know.
Yeah. The Conservation District was established in 1971 and currently protects over 25,600 acres throughout the county. I mentioned that we have 34 sites open to the public that offer numerous outdoor recreational opportunities. And, you know, a subset of that land is also in agricultural production, and that's where my role comes in. But Adam does a lot of the habitat management work that is required of the sites that we're protecting for wildlife.
So how was it that they came about picking, how were bison chosen for this project?
Well, since I started here 10 years ago, I kept pushing them saying, we need bison. So that helped, I think. But, you know, it's one of those things. It was always in the plan, the master plan for Pleasant Valley, to have bison possibly graze it in some facet. It just never really came to fruition. Just wasn't, you know, it's a very difficult thing to actually have happen. So this partnership with the Reuter Family Farm came up in collaboration with the Liberty Prairie Foundation, which is a nonprofit that kind of look to farms, sustainable farming, things like that, and they also really bring in partnerships between government agencies and farmers and trying to get them to work together. And that's exactly what they did with us with the Reuter Family Farm. He met them, knew we were really into grazing as a tool for our restorations, and so he talked to them, thought we'd be a perfect fit, introduced us. They came out, that was in September of 2020, I think. They came out and checked everything out, and then you know, just to kind of see and talk to us and see what they did, and then just developed into a partnership from there. You know, we had to figure out if bison was feasible, if we just wanted to do cows, what we wanted to do. So yeah, it was a long time coming.
That's great. I know that Wisconsin has established farms in areas of protected habitat for elk. Mm-hmm. They're trying to bring that back, and that's a big thing for them. They've got farmers participating in those programs, too, to bring it on back. But can you tell the folks, when you talk about the whole Prairie Valley Conservation Area, what that all entails?
Yes, Pleasant Valley. It's about 2,080 acres is how big Pleasant Valley is. The district didn't buy that all at one time. It was bought in over several years. I can't remember the first, 1994 maybe was the first purchase. Anyway, it's one of our older sites. And So it's kind of a mixture of, it has wetlands, woodlands, prairie. I mean, when you have a 2,000-acre site, you're going to have everything, at least you hope you do, every ecosystem you can possibly get. And so it's what we call one of our macro sites, which we have quite a few in the district. Anything over like 2,000 acres, like Glacial Park is also a macro site. There's Queen Anne Prairie, Kishwaukee Corridor. These are all great big masses of land. So Pleasant Valley is unique in that it's got all of those features, and then it also has the public access part of it. Some of our larger sites don't actually have public access. It's just huge, vast, you know, pieces of farm ground or along a river corridor. So that's where Pleasant Valley really tied in well with the bison. You could have them on the site with the hopes of eventually allowing the public to be part of it too. So
that's what I meant to ask you. Is there a creek that runs through that area where the bison are?
Yes, so the Kishwaukee River actually runs to the south of the adjacent property. So that 54 acres I was talking about, that would be added on to the 90 that's planted. The river actually runs right by that. So in the future, we'd love to do more of a stream restoration on that river, because it's more of just a straight ditch from agricultural history of the area. So
sure, and you have to have water too for the animals, so besides the grazing, so that's the whole natural habitat type thing.
Sure, yeah. They do have, you know, their own watering system that we have for what they do right now. It is always possible in the future to use the Kishwaukee River for watering purposes. So, yeah, it's definitely.
That's awesome. So, Brenna, your task and your job and what you're doing over there, what are some of the things that are...
Sure. So, a lot of what I do is sort of working with the tenant on the lease and what that entails. So, we've agreed to certain terms with the tenant on expectations for, renting that land and how it will be managed. And that's kind of what I was referring to earlier about the partnership that we have with Ruder Bison. So the goals for this particular project, the Bison Grazing Initiative is really what we're calling it, was to utilize rotational grazing to manage the existing grassland and savanna at the site, as well as the restored prairie that Adam mentioned earlier. So for us, you know, it's a management tool, but for the rooters, it's a livelihood, it's a livestock operation. And so working together to establish our goals, their goals, and work together to achieve those, that's...
We want to just remind everybody, you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we're talking to Brenna Ness and Adam Rex from the McHenry County Conservation District, talking about the buffalo. How long is the lease that the county has?
Yeah, so this is a really unique lease for us. The Rooters have a 15-year lease with the district. And the reason for that is because even though the Rooters are utilizing an existing farmstead that was once grazed by cattle and used for row crop production, it needed updates to fencing and the watering system. And so there was a large investment on the Rooters' part in the property to make sure that the property was going to safely contain the bison and provide everything that he needed. And so part of the reason for that is, you know, establishing that partnership so that he can reap the benefits of his investments.
So then the fencing that was put up by you folks?
No.
Oh, it was put up by him?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
And it's 5 foot tall, woven wire with...
Yep, woven wire, and it does have electric,
two strands
of electric on it. So,
okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's invested a lot of his own money into this whole operation, so it's really the partnership is obviously there, you know, like he wants it, we want it, so it's been great.
So yeah. Is there any danger in 15 years you might say, I think I'm going to just cancel the lease and thanks for everything?
Well, that's the beauty of my job, is that we've laid out all those details in the lease, and if that were to happen, and things do happen, then we've sorted out how to handle that.
So you're on the spot, Brenna. It's up to you now, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I give her a lot of credit. That when that stuff started happening, I walked away and said, when the bison get here, I'll be back. But the contract stuff confuses me.
You know, the conservation department, that's probably all funded by McHenry County, correct?
Mostly it's tax-based funded, mm-hmm. and then we also do have revenue from farm income. Brenna mm-hmm. makes that stuff happen, and then some other revenue from programs and things. Yep.
So besides the two of you, are there more employees that work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have at least 80 full-time staff, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Wow. So how many are designated for the buffalo?
Depends on.
Yeah, it's technically none, but
right.
you know, I mean, technically they're the Reuters bison. They make all the decisions. They do all the work. But we do assist them because it is a special program. As we assist the cattle farmers and everybody. And so you know, really, it's myself and Brenna. Our natural resource manager, Brad Woodson's very involved, and then a few of the other ecologists, John Peters, Jeff Murray, Chris Seiner, they help as well.
And so. I would add to that, you know, no one is designated to work directly on with the bison herd, but the district has really worked together as, you know, interdepartmentally to achieve this project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our education department is putting on programs to get the public to the site, that even though it's not publicly accessible, we are offering programs for people to learn about the project and see the bison. As I mentioned, our planning department is working on the project. You know, our construction staff has done ton of work.
Absolutely.
So it's a partnership project on all levels.
That's quite a task. I mean, when you think about all that you have to do, and yet for the Reuter family to do this and participate like this, that's really a really very, very, very generous when you think about it. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot there. They're caring for the animals. They're doing a lot of work and offering the land. There's a lot to be said for them.
Yeah, and so, it's something that's never been done before in McHenry County, so everybody's very excited about it. You know, they all get pumped up about the bison, so everybody's willing to.
I think people are anxious to see the bison. I think they're anxious to see the spots so they can go view the bison.
Absolutely. So to that note, I would just mention too, you know, the Reuters were a really great match for the Conservation District because they're a family business that raises bison specifically to protect habitat for native wildlife, but also to be a locally sourced alternative to beef. But we are, as I mentioned, offering opportunities throughout the year for the public to see the bison. You'll have to, you know, monitor our website for those opportunities. I am going to put a quick plug in as well for a workshop that we're hosting on October 15th in partnership with Reuter Bison and the National Bison Association. That's a regenerative ranching workshop that'll be at the Bison Ranch. And it's really geared towards bison producers or people that are interested in raising bison to learn about how to raise bison in a way that promotes soil health and fertility, improves carbon sequestration.
So, Brenna, why don't you, for our listeners, give them that website to go to? What would that be?
The website is not live yet, but if they need information on how to register for that event, they can call me and I'll make sure they get the information.
Okay, and what number should they call? Would it be the 815-482-1215?
That'll work, yes.
So that's 815-482-1215. Okay. And then what's this event that's coming up?
On October 15th?
Yes.
It's a regenerative bison ranching workshop.
Okay, so they buy tickets for that?
They do have to pre-register, yes.
Okay, and then once they get there, what happens?
So it's an event that will be the morning hosted at McHenry County College, where they can learn about how the benefits of raising bison regeneratively. So that means how you're managing the herd, rotating the herd, managing the habitat in a holistic way that benefits everything from the soils to the habitat for wildlife. So then the afternoon will be at the Pleasant Valley Bison Ranch, where they can also learn about the work that the district has done at the site for restoration and how we are managing the habitat there.
So you'll give them directions how to get to the ranch?
You bet. Yep.
Okay. So if someone comes out from the city and says, gee, what's this rotation that you're talking about? What would that be? Can you break that down in layman's terms when you talk about rotation?
Yeah. So we have established paddocks within the fenced pasture, which are sort of internal fenced areas that exclude the bison from being in certain parts of the pasture. And that is really to allow certain parts of the pasture to rest and not be grazed. And we are rotating the herd around those paddocks to benefit the grassland vegetation structure and the soil. And Adam, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, and it's it'll be also be used as our management tool. So if we want to burn a side, we can move the bison to the other side, burn it, and then allow them back on it. You just don't want, you know, bison grazing on one spot for too long. Even though they're bison, they're much more picky with what they eat. They like grass more than they do with the wildflowers. You still have to keep your stocking rate, so that's the amount of animals that are on there, at the proper level. If you have too many on it, they'll overgraze the grass, and then you run into problems that you do on some large scale cattle operations that have, you know, they look like golf courses. That's not what we're going for. We're going for tall grass next to short grass, next to short grass, next to tall grass, kind of all throughout the whole system. You want those different height structures, and that's what you get from rotating them and keeping your stocking rate at the proper amount.
So with your bison, I know a lot of the ranchers up in Montana, they allocate so many acres per steer.
Mm-hmm.
So to feed the bison, how many acres do you need for one bison to survive?
It depends on, you know, whether it's a bull, a cow, or a calf. There's different different kind of
animal units
per, you know, per acre. And I think what we're going for is 3 acres per...
Three to five. And...
Yeah, I mean, and the more the better. You don't want too much, though, because then the bison aren't actually doing what we're trying to achieve with that height structure. They're not eating enough grass, or they'll focus on one corner and not go to throughout the whole prairie here and there. But 3 to 5, that seems to be doing pretty well for us. We kind of think we could increase it even on 30 acres at the moment. Mm-hmm. But we'll just see. And it'll make more sense when it's on a bigger landscape. Right now, it's very tiny, very small. It needs to grow and really see what they're going to do.
And that's where that additional land will come into play.
Right. Yep.
So with that additional land, how many more animals can you support, do you think?
So at that point, with the 90 acres, we'll be at 120. So you're asking me to do math on the spot. with 5 acres per animal, we could support about 30 animals.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that's, you know, it's going to change. It'll ebb and flow as we see how they use it. And it'll be completely different plant structure also, because right now they're on non-native cool season grass, and then they're going to be moving on to native tall grass, warm season grasses. Mm-hmm. So they grow at different rates. They grow at different times of the year. And so they'll be feeding differently. Everything will kind of change. So it's going to be kind of a, you know, we're working through it. And that's why, like, Brenna and one of our ecologists, Tom Simpson, have been doing studies. They've been doing photo monitoring to see what the bison are doing to the plant structure in real time. They're able to take pictures and actually see that, what they're actually doing.
So I guess the other question would come into play in the winter months when the ground is all covered with snow. Mm-hmm. How are they fed then?
So that's what's amazing about bison, is that they've literally evolved for this landscape, and their skeletal structure, their muscle system can move through that snow bank or, you know, drift or whatever it is to access the vegetation that still is underneath. So that's how it works out west and in Yellowstone. That's not to say that Reuter bison won't be supplementing with some hay if needed, mm-hmm. but ultimately that's the goal, is for them to operate as a natural system.
They kind of paw at the snow.
Yeah,
and clear it.
They use their head, actually.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
See, it's like
amazing.
A snowplow, right?
Yep. Yes.
They're big snow shovels. It's pretty cool. I actually was sending Brenna pictures this past winter of spots where they had just moved the snow, and then you could see a little bit of green grass underneath that they were getting at. They were able to dig it up, so it stays green under there. It's pretty amazing. And mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, what these animals can do, you just don't realize.
No. Yeah, and I mean, the heat doesn't bother them. They don't hang out under the trees. They don't hang out in water like cattle do.
Nope.
They go out in the wide open. I mean, it'll be 90 degrees outside, and you're like, what are you doing? Go under the trees. But they don't. They just evolved to be out in the prairie. So.
And they can find the water. I know a friend of mine, a rancher in Montana, that when he moves his herd, his dogs, border collies, have to move some of the herd towards the water, otherwise they won't go drink. It could be 15 feet away,
sure,
but they won't go drink until you force one to go over there. Then the rest say, oh, there's water here, let's go have a drink, you know. Yep. Which is kind of crazy, but that's the way it is with cattle.
Yeah,
right. It's very different.
So what's in store for the future for you folks, for the district?
So in the immediate future, there will be, you know, additional fencing that needs to be installed so that and monitoring of this recently restored prairie. And expansion of the herd. In the less immediate future, I'm just going to ask everyone to be patient with us as we are figuring out the plans for public visitation and access, because that is on the agenda. It's just not quite ready yet.
Well, that's great. Brendan Ness and Adam Rex from the McKinney County Conservation District telling us about the buffalo that are out here. We thank you so much for that. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.